Hello, everyone. This is Molly Douthat.
And David Douthat.
Welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for the second Sunday of Easter, Year B. The disciples exhibit remarkable cohesion and generosity in Acts 4. Believers remember what they had seen and touched and heard in 1 John. Thomas refuses to believe until he can see and touch the resurrected Christ in John's Gospel. Sounds like they've hit most of the smarts. Join us as we take our turn.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. So let's get started.
The first reading for Year B, Easter 2, which I am looking at on my page as Beaster, is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. It's only four verses, and there's really not a lot. Although we did manage to find some stuff.
Depends on how you think about it. Yeah,
exactly.
It's an important story.
It is quite an important story. These are the verses that talk about the early congregation right after Pentecost gathering together and bringing everything they had, all their worldly possessions, selling them and giving to everyone in the community as had need. It's an ideal economic and social situation. And so we're going to look at what we can share with congregations using these intelligences. We've got an illustration in word smart, illustration and special effect in math smart, an illustration in music smart, an illustration in nature smart, an illustration in people smart, and a special effect in self smart. And we're going to try to hit them all. So here we go. Oh, right. I'm starting. Yep. Okay. So I was reading commentary in this particular passage, and a man named Troy Toftgruben at Working Preacher is talking about the fact that there was already writings in existence at the time of this fellowship that extolled the virtue of generous living. So Jews and Greeks in the early gathering, they might have been influenced by examples of communal living and sharing in unity. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 4 through 11, there is a verse that says, "There will be no one in need among you." It's the rules of ancient Israel about how to live in community. They may have also been influenced by the Greek ideals of friendship. "Among friends, everything is common," written by Aristotle in his Ethics. And Pythagoras also has an idea of philosophical community. So those are some illustrations that you can use for word smart in the idea that things had been written down that were guiding them already. And then we have this particular four verses that could give some ethical and social guidance to us. Mm-hmm. So there's your word smart.
And for us, it's rooted in the resurrection, as it says in the center of the passage there.
Exactly.
Yeah. For Math Smart, we came across an article on the current trends in global distribution of wealth, thinking about the balance that goes on in the community there. They have a graph, and that's the special effect. So we've got a link to the article, and it's just a Wikipedia article, but you could look up lots of things on these current trends. Mm-hmm. The graph, which would be the special effect, as I said, it shows the change between 2010 and 2015, and it's kind of bullet shaped.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming down so that the 99% on top and the 1% on the bottom, and they come together at 50% in 2015. So 1% of the world owns 50% of the wealth.
Wow.
Yeah, so we think that there would probably be a different graph for the Acts for Church.
Absolutely.
Not quite sure what that would be, but I don't think it would look like this one.
Not at all.
So anyway, take a look at that and check the link and the graph on the worksheet at our show notes at morethanhearing.org.
For Music Smart, we're not looking at anything that is particularly set to a tune, but we are instead looking at a poem written by Wendell Berry. It's called Manifesto, The Mad Farmer Liberation Front. It is a poem where he encourages people to live differently, essentially, to take risks, to live as though tomorrow has come, to live as though tomorrow will not come. And at one point, he says in the poem, practice resurrection, which is what kind of caught our attention for use in this particular passage. It's a lyrical way of talking about the way the community was living in the first century. They were living as though the resurrection had happened and living as though the resurrection really made a difference in their lives. So share that with your congregation, or bits of it anyway. It's not that long. You could probably use it to open or even close your sermon if you choose.
Yeah. Yeah, I found it to be really good. It's the idea of being unpredictable in, in the culture so that you can't be used as a tool of the economic political system.
Right.
Yeah. For Nature Smart, this is... we needed something for Nature Smart. So we found an article. I found an article on Psychology Today's website. And it's someone who is writing at the holidays about how to deal with all the hopes and expectations and the generosity of the winter holidays. And it led to talking about a study that suggests that experiences of beauty in nature can increase what they refer to as pro-social behavior, like agreeableness, generosity, and helping others. So the sorts of things that are described in this passage. And so if you want people to be as generous as the folk in Acts 4, then you need to get them out in the great outdoors and give them a sense of awe. There were a couple other articles that I came across that I think referred to the same thing. And they said the sense of awe and a sense of smallness in the face of beautiful nature creates generosity, which is really
interesting. That's
interesting.
You wouldn't think that being made to feel as though you are small in the face of something would make you feel generous.
Yeah.
You think it would go the opposite.
You might.
It would tend to make people more parsimonious.
Yeah. Parsimonious?
Parsimonious. Yeah, persimmons.
Tight
and sour.
Persimmonous? What?
For people smart, we've got a couple of different things. An illustration about how generosity or living generously can affect people outside the community, I found in an article at the Christian Century written by Kristen Bargeron Grant. She was talking about how when she was first out of seminary, she lived in a community that ministered to the homeless, and it had been ministering to the homeless before she got there. And so they continued to do this. And there was an attorney that lived next door to this ministry who was not happy with this, and so went to great lengths to disrupt it, to push it out. And she says, but the community endured these assaults, and eventually there was a ceasefire. Relations were still tense until the day a letter arrived from this man. It contained a large check and a letter of deep regret. The neighbor asked for the community's forgiveness and closed with, "Peace be with you." There was no explanation given for this dramatic change, but I can't help thinking it was the cumulative effect of so many years spent in close proximity to one of God's outposts of peace. Mm. In his once despised neighbors, this man came to see that the promise of reconciliation and a new beginning was not a dream. It was instead right next door.
Hmm. Also in PeopleSmart, we've got a few links to a series of different articles. There's one that explores some of the scientific explanations for generosity. And usually we put science in math, but since it's a sociological sort of thing, putting it here in people, generosity being a people-y smart thing. So anyway, you can take a look at that. Then we've got three links for articles about the current trends in communal living, because that seems to be making a comeback. Mm-hmm. And so we've got one from a website called Money Crashers, and one from the AARP, and one from Time. So you can take a look at those and see what folks are doing in the way of living together.
For a special effect, keeping in mind the idea of this generous living, break into groups and make sure each of your groups has someone in them that is part of your leadership council or your session or your groups, because they would want to be able to not only hear this discussion, but participate in this discussion and be able to answer questions. So break into groups and then discuss what ministries your congregation engages in that could be described by those outside the fellowship as generous. Mm. What sorts of things are you currently engaged in? What sorts of things might you want to be engaged in? And has anybody in your fellowship that your leadership might not know about, what sorts of impressions do they get from their interactions with people outside? In other words, is your church known for being generous? Is it known for generosity? And that might be a good thing to share with your leaders.
And for SelfSmart, we have a special effect just to encourage your folks to ponder some things, like we often do. So invite your folks to consider their financial assets, and then consider the assets of the richest people in your community, and consider the assets of the poorest people in your community, and where do you fall on that spectrum? But more importantly, what would it mean for you to balance things out with those who are below you on the scale? And what would it mean to you to have those above you balancing things out? And where does Jesus fit into all of that?
Good question.
Okay, let's go on. The second reading for Year B, Easter 2, is 1 John 1, verse 1 through 2:2. So 1:1 to 2:2. Okay. This starts off with it's in the first person plural. And so it starts off as sort of a communal statement of the community's experience of having witnessed the resurrection of Christ. And it is written to the second person. We are declaring these things to you. The first chunk of it is just making the case, hey, we actually saw, heard, touched all of these things. Our testimony is valid. And this is what we heard is the next part. This is what we saw. This is what we proclaim to you, that God is light. And when we are in fellowship with God, we do not walk in the darkness. Because if we are doing that, then something isn't right. Either we're deceiving ourselves or we're making God out to be a liar. So neither of those is good. Mm-hmm. And then as it turns to chapter 2, it goes into first person singular to the plural. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, who has given himself for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world.
And all this word smart that you just did there.
Yeah. So it's very juicy. It's lots of stuff in here, as you always get with John. We have a number of things to look at with you here. We got both illustration and special effect for iSmart, MathSmart, BodySmart, and PeopleSmart, and a MusicSmart illustration. Let's get to it.
Okay, so we're going to start with iSmart, and we're starting right at the very top. What we've heard, what we've seen, what we've touched with our hands, but essentially what we've seen, which made me think of the informal state motto of the state of Missouri, which is, show me. It's on their license plates. It's the Show Me State, mm-hmm. which is attributed to Missouri's U.S. Congressman Willard Duncan Vandiver for coining the phrase way back in 1899. And this is where it comes from. During his speech in Philadelphia, he said, "I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cuckleburs and Democrats." Interesting grouping.
Yes.
"And frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfies me. I am from Missouri. You have got to show me." So we're putting
that,
this.
That sounds like Thomas.
Yes, it really does. So we're putting that in iSmart with the idea that it's something that you have to witness. And we usually, when we talk about witness, we're talking about visual experiences. You've seen something. This particular passage goes into not only seeing, but hearing and touching. But we put it in iSmart because that seems to be the best place for it. Looking at verse 5, when the author talks about God being light, this is a special effect. Turn on and hold up a really bright lantern and ask your folks to imagine being surrounded by bright, pure light on every side. That's something our yoga instructor used to have us do at the end. Mm-hmm. So imagine this for a culture that had almost no defense against the dark of the night. They probably had torches, but those only go so far. So imagine a very bright light that would be in that particular time. Imagine being in a place without the gloom of sin or evil. Be really careful, though, when you talk about light and dark. We often equate dark or darkness or even dark skin mm-hmm. with being evil. So you yes. want to be aware of that.
Yes, don't do that. For Math Smart, we have a number of items here. We've got a lot about testimony, and this is because of the logic elements involved more than the math. If you're interested in a story about testimony in traffic court where the light was green, by golly, then drop Molly an email.
I will tell you all
about it. And she will be glad to tell you the story.
Oh, my God. Yes. It was green.
At molly@morethanhearing.org. And she'll be glad to tell you that story. Going on, there's a study from Houston, Texas that suggests that the timing of eyewitness testimony plays a huge factor in its accuracy, that the closer that you are to the event in getting the testimony, the more likely it is to be accurate and relevant. So we include that for you. As a special effect then connected with that, do you have any lawyers or judges in your congregation or that you are associated with who could come in and talk with the congregation a little bit about how testimony and evidence are used in a trial? It's probably not quite as It's probably not quite like Perry Mason or Law and Order and all of those shows. So it might be interesting to get first-person testimony about how testimony is used. Ba-doom-ching. going back to illustrations, the passage talks about Jesus being an advocate for us, which is another legal term, but mm-hmm. it's someone who takes your side and bonds with you, in a sense, to make sure that you get the representation that you need. So Jesus acts, and going into science with our Math Smart, as we are prone to do, Jesus acts like a chemical bond that keeps atoms together. Either ionic or covalent bonding in chemistry, in both cases, atoms of different types either share or redistribute their electrons to produce stable valence states.
You mean they sell their possessions and bring them and lay them at the apostles' feet?
Kind of like that, as a matter of fact, yes. So that the ones who are lacking electron stability borrow from the other ones or just outright take them. And the other ones just give them up because they have some extra to spare. Or if they don't have that kind of relationship, they can share them. So they go back and forth between them.
Or Jesus acts as the bond that makes that happen.
Yeah.
Hey, there we are.
There we go. So we have a link to a video that explains a little bit more about ionic and covalent bonding that you might need if you're not familiar with the terms. Then for special effect, you can do some gee whiz experiments around those sorts of things, showing how those things bond, or perhaps using glue, and you can find some experiments about that, or surface tension of water, which holds the water in place. And we have a link to a particular video that has something about that, but you can just look up surface tension experiments or surface tension demos, and you'll find them. There's some fun things you can do with that.
For Body Smart, we're going back to this whole idea of the senses, touching, seeing, hearing. And it got me to thinking about that phrase, flesh and blood. Jesus, apparently there is some question as to whether or not this letter was written to people who were kind of being led astray by Gnosticism, that whole, you know, Jesus was a non-corporeal being and he just, you know, masked as a human. And they're saying, no, there was flesh and blood. So I went up and looked up the term flesh and blood, and it has a lot of variety of shades of meaning. And I've got a link to the place where I found that. But the idea is flesh and blood is primarily one of embodiment, which is why we're putting this here in body. So for an illustration, the embodied gospel of Jesus Christ probably looks like people out doing mission work, or compassionate living, or people who protest for justice, or visitation ministries like chaplains in nursing homes, hospitals, prisons, deacons who prepare meals, they do visits, they drive folks around. These are all examples that have really strong people smart elements, but I put them in body because of the flesh and blood needed to do them. So it's embodied ministry. It's being Jesus' hands and feet and eyes. So that's the illustration. If you for the special effect, if you have any caregivers or instructors in your congregation whose work involves a lot of physical contact or physical work, invite them to come and speak about how their embodied work affects people around them. Ask them, do they see their work as service? And does anyone else see it that way? And does it make a difference to consider what they do in this manner as embodied ministry?
For Music Smart, we have a song for you from DC Talk. You may be familiar with it. It's called In the Light. It refers to verse 7 of the passage in the chorus. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heavens. Good song.
And now I've got an earworm.
There you go. It's not a bad one. Take a look at that and make use of it as you will. It also ties in the idea that if you sin, we have the advocate who is the expiation for our sins. So good song there. Then the other one is a little looser connection, and it is Hey, Hey, What Can I Do by Led Zeppelin. The first line of the song is, let me tell you about a girl I love. And that popped into my head as I was thinking about the author of the letter here saying, let me tell you about what we have seen. Let me tell you about this one that we know. And so we're going to connect it with People Smart here in just a moment. So it's a loose connection, but it's musical. And for folks who are classic rock fans, or now oldies, I guess we could say.
Anyway. Let's not get depressed. Keep going.
Yeah. Rolling over to People Smart, in those first couple verses, let me tell you about the one I love. Talk about someone that you love and someone you have seen and heard and touched. And no one else has the same exact experience of that person, so tell about it as an expression of your love. And that's what John is doing here. Let me tell you about the one I love, Jesus.
For special effect, we have, if you look at our worksheet, we are referencing the work of someone named Nijay Gupta at Working Preacher, who is writing about this particular passage. I've got the link to it up in WordSmart, but he talks about the importance of confession. That is in this, the first part of John's passage here, the first chapter. He says, John reminds us of the problem of sin, that it decays our life and pollutes our relationship with God. But confession clears the pollution, and trust in Jesus heals the decay. Put that quote someplace where people can see it, and then have them break into groups and discuss how this definition of sin and confession has or has not worked in both your personal and corporate lives. And let's go on. The gospel for Easter 2 year B is the same as it would be for Easter 2 in year A and year C. John 20 verses 19 through 31, Doubting Thomas. There we go. Okay, so We've got...
What else do you need?
What else do you need? Seriously. I mean, if you have... Yeah, I'm not even going to go anywhere. Okay, so we've got both illustration and special effect for WordSmart, got a special effect for iSmart, a special effect for BodySmart, an illustration for MusicSmart, and an illustration for PeopleSmart. So the illustration that we're looking at for WordSmart comes from the end in verses 30 and 31, which a lot of people consider to be something that somebody tacked on somewhere. Or it's kind of like Monty Python when they would sometimes be doing a sketch and they had no way to get out of it. They'd just say, this is silly, let's stop. So it seems, I don't think that's what they were saying here in verses 30 through 31, but they kind of got to the opposite point where it's like, I'm tired of writing. So there are a lot of other things he did, and these were written so that you may come to believe. And that is the point of John's gospel. These all of these events, these signs, the resurrection, it was done so that you may believe. One of the commentaries I read, I don't remember which one it was, said this is essentially John the Gospel writer breaking the fourth wall. And so that got me to thinking about other examples of fourth wall breaking, and I have a link to a blog called Film Babble Blog that has 10 movie moments that break the fourth wall. Some of them are really good.
So what does that mean?
Breaking the fourth wall means you are in a presentation or a play or writing something. It's a work of fiction, and suddenly somebody in it speaks directly to the audience or directly looks into the camera. The first example that they give on Film Babble Blog is Trading Places, where Eddie Murphy looks right into the camera at one point. And there are several other examples given in this particular link where somebody looks into the camera. They did it. Robert Hayes did it in Airplane.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So there are a lot of ways that that happens. And I also have a link to some graphic novels where characters break the fourth wall. So if you click that link, scroll down all the way to where Ultraman literally breaks the wall. it's kind of interesting. And then for a special effect, verse 19, Jesus comes and stands among the disciples and says, "Peace be with you," which is the way it's translated in most English translations. But the Greek is literally "peace to you." So the question is Jesus blessing them with peace, or is he stating that peace embodied in himself is with them? So peace to you. So if you pass the peace in your congregation, if that's something you ordinarily do, encourage your congregation to say it that way. Just look each other in the eye and say, "Peace to you," and then see what happens. There's kind of a bit of a people element in that, so
yeah,
could be interesting.
For iSmart, for special effects, we have some things that you can share with your congregation that are visual bits, namely some memes. This is connected to verse 25, where Thomas says, I'm not buying this. Until I see, I'm not falling for that. And so we have, in fact, some memes that are, I'm not falling for it, and some that are kind of a nice try. So there's one.
I'm looking at the apples.
Yeah. So there's one that says, "Nice try, Mom." And somebody's taken an apple and carved it into the shape of a Happy Meal, a McDonald's Happy Meal. So I'm not falling for it. So take a look at those. They're kind of fun. Then the other is to either do or show some sleight of hand demonstrations, some things that amaze. And, you know, those sorts of tricks where you're watching things happen and you know they can't happen. And that's kind of catches the flavor. You know, the links that we have are mostly to cup games, but Quick Change is another one.
Right.
There's actually one that I was looking at that was a Quick Change act for Penn and Teller's Fool Us show. Mm-hmm. And Penn says, yeah, the thing about Quick Change is that it's not to deceive you, it's to amaze you. And you amazed us, but you didn't fool us. So, because they know how it works. But anyway.
Well, and that wasn't what Jesus was doing either. He wasn't seeking to fool anybody.
No.
He certainly amazed them.
He did indeed. So what would amaze you? What would cause you not to believe your eyes or to think, where the heck did that come from?
Right.
How did that happen?
Right.
Yeah.
For Body Smart, we're looking at verse 23 when Jesus says to the disciples, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And I'm looking specifically at that last part. So for a special effect, actually, you might even illustrate it talking about retaining as being like holding a grudge, a hateful grudge. Mm. So for a special effect, imagine an old grudge. Have everybody sit there and just think about a grudge and notice how it sits in your body. Was there any muscle tension? Did you tense up? Did your heart rate quicken?
Did your gut fall?
Uh-huh. And if you've released that old grudge, if that no longer has any energy for you, how did your body react to it when you thought about it? Was there any change? And if there was no change, that means that is probably something that is very definitely in your past. Mm. If there's no physical experience of thinking about an old grudge. And this might be something that you could do with self. If anybody did tense up or have any physiological changes thinking about an old grudge, have them talk to you about it maybe later this week. Get rid of it. It's poison.
Mm-hmm.
For music, we have a link to a blog post by Rachel Held Evans. She wrote this back, I think in 2015, called Holy Week for Doubters. I put it in music because it has poetic imagery in it. It's not necessarily a poem. I think it is actually an essay, but it's got some lyrical kinds of ways of looking at the idea of how doubt arises in the hearts and minds of people during this particular time. And how people could find, you know, the idea of Thomas being a doubter and not believing and not being willing to believe unless he could, you know, physically access the resurrected Lord. I thought it was a particularly powerful essay, and so I highly commend it.
For People Smart, what if your friend told you about seeing a flying saucer?
I've had people tell me that.
Yeah. Well, would you believe? And what if your friend claimed to have been abducted by aliens?
Mm.
What if your friend claimed to have seen a ghost or Bigfoot or Elvis?
After he died?
After he died. What if your friend said, I have seen the Lord?
Mm.
What makes the difference among those things?
That's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or facebook.com/morethanhearing, or tweet us at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe even got an idea that you liked better than ours, please let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Remember to check out the show notes, worksheets, links, and resources at our website. They go hand in glove with the podcast and give you lots more material to work with. Don't forget to subscribe using the links on the website for iTunes, Google Play, Android, or good old RSS, or just point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can help others find us more easily by writing a review at the iTunes store. And of course, you can share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another episode next week. So in the meantime, stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.